Let's read together the Song of Solomon, chapters 5 and 6. In chapter 5, we see that sometime after the wedding, there was a problem that developed in the marriage. But in chapter 6, we see that the love relationship between Solomon and his wife was restored. Let's read together chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. I have come to my garden, my sister, my spouse. I have gathered my myrrh with my spice. I have eaten my honeycomb with my honey. I have drunk my wine with my milk. Eat, O friends, drink, yes, drink deeply, O beloved ones. I sleep, but my heart is awake. It is the voice of my beloved. He knocks, saying, open for me, my sister, my love, my dove, my perfect one. For my head is covered with dew, my locks with the drops of the night. I have taken off my robe. How can I put it on again? I have washed my feet. How can I dirty them? My beloved put his hand by the latch of the door, and my heart yearned for him. I arose to open for my beloved, and my hands dripped with myrrh, my fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the lock. I opened for my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and was gone. My heart leaped up when he spoke. I sought him, but I could not find him. I called him, but he gave me no answer. The watchmen who went about the city found me. They struck me. They wounded me. The keepers of the wall took my veil away from me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, if you find my beloved, that you tell him I am lovesick. Let's begin our study of these chapters of the Song of Solomon, chapters 5 and 6, with some background notes. At the end of chapter 4 of the Song of Solomon, we saw that Solomon was invited by the Shulamite maiden, his new bride, to consummate the marriage. And we see in verse 1 of chapter 5 that the marriage was consummated and blessed by God himself. This is certainly God's stamp of approval on sex within marriage as God intended it. Now, beginning in verse 2 of chapter 5, we see that the honeymoon is over and there is a strain that develops in the relationship. We don't know all the details, but we see that when Solomon comes to be with his wife in verse 2, she makes the excuse that she's already gone to bed, verse 3, maybe with a headache, and she can't be bothered to get up and open what appears to be a locked door, verse 4. Now, all or part of chapters 5 and 6 of the Song of Solomon may be a dream that the Shulamite is having about the strained relationship, because she does say in verse 2 that I sleep, but my heart is awake. So either in the dream or in actuality, when the Shulamite felt compassion for her husband and arose to open the door, verse 5, she found to her dismay that he had already turned away, verse 6. The myrrh that he left on the door handle was a perfume or spice, sometimes associated with lovemaking. We see at the end of verse 6 and in verse 7, that the Shulamite, in the dream or in actuality, went out searching for Solomon but couldn't find him. And the watchman of the city, thinking she was mad or up to no good, struck her and took away her shawl. As a result of the dream, or really not being able to find Solomon, the Shulamite asked the daughters of Jerusalem, in verse 8, to tell Solomon, if they found him, that she loves him. Now in verse 9, the daughters of Jerusalem asked the Shulamite what's so special about Solomon to her that they should help look for him and communicate her love for him. Verse 9, what is your beloved more than another beloved, O fairest among women? What is your beloved more than another beloved that you so charge us? So now in verses 10 through 16, we have a striking physical description of Solomon by his wife, the Shulamite. Let's read these verses. Song of Solomon, chapter 5, beginning now with verse 10. My beloved is white and ruddy, chief among 10,000. His head is like the finest gold. His locks are wavy and black as a raven. His eyes are like doves by the rivers of waters, washed with milk and fitly set. His cheeks are like a bed of spices, banks of scented herbs. His lips are lilies, dripping liquid myrrh. His hands are rods of gold, set with beryl. His body is carved ivory, inlaid with sapphires. His legs are pillars of marble, set on bases of fine gold. His countenance is like Lebanon, excellent as the cedars. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, he is altogether lovely. This is my beloved, and this is my friend, O daughters of Jerusalem. That brings us now to our doctrinal point for Song of Solomon, chapter 5. Broken fellowship can take place in a love relationship. Broken fellowship can take place in a love relationship. Now, you've heard the expression, true love never runs smoothly, right? This is not a Bible verse, but it is a biblical truth. Even Christian love relationships are not without problems. And if the problems are not worked out, broken fellowship can take place. This can take place in your marriage, as we see here in Song of Solomon chapter 5, as well as in your relationship with the Lord. Remember, we said that because the Song of Solomon is about the true love relationship between King Solomon and a Shulamite bride, it illustrates the love relationship between God and his people, or between Christ and his church. This is not what is known as the typical view of the Song of Solomon. No, it is a traditional historical view, but because it is about the true love and marriage of a husband and wife, it illustrates the love relationship between us and the Lord. In fact, all marriages should reflect this same true love relationship. How are we doing, by the way, husbands and wives, here this morning? Just as a strained relationship and broken fellowship took place between the Shulamite and Solomon, so strained relationships and broken fellowship can take place in our love relationships, including our love relationship with the Lord. Now, we're not talking about salvation here, but about our fellowship with the Lord. Broken fellowship can take place in a love relationship. Well, what do we do about strained love relationships and broken fellowship? That brings us to our second doctrinal point. Restored fellowship can take place in a love relationship. Restored fellowship can take place in a love relationship. Let's continue reading the Song of Solomon, chapter 6. Where has your beloved gone, O fairest among women? Where has your beloved turned aside, that we may seek him with you? My beloved has gone to his garden, to the beds of spices, to feed his flock in the gardens, and to gather lilies. I am my beloved's, and my beloved is mine. He feeds his flock among the lilies. Oh, my love, you are as beautiful as Tirzah, lovely as Jerusalem, awesome as an army with banners. Turn your eyes away from me, for they have overcome me. Your hair is like a flock of goats going down from Gilead. Your teeth are like a flock of sheep, which have come up from the washing. Everyone bears twins, and none is barren among them. Like a piece of pomegranate are your temples behind your veil. There are 60 queens and 80 concubines and virgins without number. My dove, my perfect one, is the only one of her mother, the favorite of the one who bore her. The daughters saw her and called her blessed, the queens and the concubines, and they praised her. Who is she who looks forth as the morning, fair as the moon, clear as the sun, awesome as an army with banners? I went down to the garden of nuts to see the blossoms of the valley, to see whether the vine had budded and the pomegranates had bloomed. Before I was even aware, my soul had made me as the chariots of my noble people. Return, return, O Shulamite. Return, return, that we may look upon you. What would you see in the Shulamite, as it were, the dance of Mahanaim, or the dance of two camps? We see in this chapter that the love relationship between Solomon and his wife was restored. If chapter 6 is still part of the dream of the Shulamite, then in verses 11 through 13, she envisions herself riding out of the royal gardens in Solomon's personal chariot, leading all of Israel's other official and military chariots, with the people calling out to her to come back so that they could gaze on their queen, to which Solomon replied that they should not look on his queen as just a beautiful dancer. Hopefully that helps explain those last few verses there. Now, do we see anything in these two chapters of the Song of Solomon that are the key to the restored love relationship between Solomon and a Shulamite wife? Yes, I think we do. In chapter 5, it is obvious that the Shulamite realizes that she made a mistake and wants to make things right. Let me ask you, are we willing to do that in our love relationships? Acknowledge that we've made mistakes and want to get things right? What about our relationship with the Lord? Are we willing to acknowledge and confess our sins? 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1, 9. And then notice the positive way in which the Shulamite thinks and speaks about her husband Solomon at the end of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6. And then the positive way that Solomon thinks and speaks about his wife, the Shulamite, in the rest of chapter 6. There are no negatives. No grudges are held. All is forgiven. Only the positive aspects of the other person are focused on. No wonder the love relationship is restored. Now, I realize that we are not physically as beautiful and handsome as the Shulamite maiden and Solomon, but the same principle for restoration of fellowship should be followed. Concentrate on the positive. Restored fellowship can take place in a love relationship. And that brings us then to our practical application. Think positive thoughts about fellow believers. Think positive thoughts about fellow believers. Now, we've seen that a big key to the restored relationship between Solomon and his wife was that they did not dwell on the negatives, but thought positively about one another. You know, this is exactly how Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says we should think about one another as fellow believers. Let's read this familiar verse, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Philippians 4:8. In the context, this verse is talking about people, not about movies or TV or literature. In view of the factions causing disunity in the church at Philippi, Paul was urging the Philippians not to dwell on the negatives about their fellow believers, but to think about their positive aspects. Let me paraphrase the verse as I read it again in context. Philippians 4:8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true about one another, whatever things are noble about one another, whatever things are just about one another, whatever things are pure about one another, whatever things are lovely about one another, whatever things are of good report about one another, if there is any virtue and if there is anything worthy of praise, and there must be something, meditate on these things. Dwell on these things. Yes, there must be church discipline and confrontation and working things out, but as much as possible, think positive thoughts about fellow believers.